My name's Katie Lesko, and I'm from the Marion County Health Department, which is basically Indianapolis, Indiana. And I have no financial or other relationships to disclose. My presentation's a little bit more data-heavy than some of the last ones have been, so bear with me. But the background here to introduce you to what I did was, within the EPI department at our health department, our policy has been to refrain from releasing any vital records statistics until our vital records data is 99% complete or more. And so previous analyses on the completeness of the vital records data has determined that our births are more than 99% complete at 2.5 months. Our deaths in general are at least 99% complete at 4.5 months. And then our infant deaths don't reach 99% completeness until about 7.5 months. And the reason for that long delay is that all infant deaths, at least in the state of Indiana, the coroner needs to be notified, and then he or she has the option of reviewing those deaths, and so we're waiting on autopsy results or pathology reports and whatnot. So based on our policy and the completeness of our vital statistics, we don't calculate our year-end infant mortality rate until August 15th of the following year. Since I was fielding requests from our maternal and child health folks for the previous year's infant mortality before August 15th, and I didn't want to give them incomplete data, I started thinking about ways to circumvent this issue. So what I did, I did an analysis in which I used all births and deaths from 2000 to 2006. These were all births and deaths that occurred to a Marion County resident within Marion County, because that was the vital records access that I had. I did just a general analysis, and then once I did a race ethnicity specific analysis, I used race ethnicity off the mother's birth certificate, so that that was coming from the same source for both births and deaths. But if the death could not be linked to a birth certificate, I did use the infant's race ethnicity off of the death certificate. Excuse me. With those 6 years of data, I created basically over 2,000 pseudo years by treating each day from January 1st, 2000 to January 1st, 2006 as January 1st, and then designating 365 days out as December 31st. So for the first year was, the first pseudo year was January 1st, 2000 to December 31st, 2000. And then the next one was January 2nd, 2000 to January 1st, 2001. And then January 3rd, 2000 to January 2nd, 2001 to create those sort of pseudo years. And then for each pseudo year, I counted the number of births and deaths that had occurred in that time period and calculated a year-end infant mortality rate. And then I picked six time points to sort of predict that year-end infant mortality rate. I looked at four quarters throughout that year and then two dates, March 31st and June 30th, the end of the next two quarters for the following year, to try to predict that year-end infant mortality rate. And I calculated, where am I at? Go back here. I calculated sort of a predicted year-end infant mortality rate based on the number of births and deaths that were both had occurred as of that date and were in the system. For those dates that were before the end of the year that were in the system as of a month afterwards. And that's because our births and deaths come into our vital records department and sort of in batches and are frequently entered in batches. And so I wanted to sort of take that variability out as far as where in the cycle they were at in entering data. So here's on the left side, the six dates that I was using the births and deaths up to that had occurred up to that date, and then on the right side, that was the date that I would have looked in the system. And there was a date enter date in our data that I used for that. Then I calculated the percent difference between the actual year-end infant mortality rate and that quarter, or the predicted infant mortality rate that I had calculated. And I looked at the distribution of those percent differences for each of those six time periods, and picked the bounds for the middle 95%. So I took the 2.5th percentile and the 97.5th percentile of the percent differences, applied them to that quarter infant mortality rate, or predicted infant mortality rate, that I had come up with, to put a 95% confidence interval around that prediction. Those are the formulas that I used for the confidence intervals. And then I also, like I alluded to before, I did this for specific racial ethnic groups. I looked at white, non-Hispanic whites, non-Hispanic blacks, and Hispanic infant mortality rates. We don't have enough births and deaths to individuals of other races to really have get any data out of that. So the next series of slides I'm going to show you is the relationship between the true year-end infant mortality rate that's there in the red, and then the blue over top is what I would have predicted based on the data that the births and deaths that had occurred as of that time period and were in the vital records data, had been reported and were entered as of a month after that. So you can see this is the first quarter. So this would be births and deaths that had occurred as of March 31st and were entered as of April 30th. And you can see I would have done a very poor job predicting. By the second quarter, the predictions get a little bit better, but they're still, you know, have the potential to be at least 2 units off, which is pretty pretty dramatic. By the third quarter, they're getting pretty close, but still not quite good enough to be of real use. But by the fourth quarter, the predicted and the actual infant mortality rates are quite close, and there's March 31st after the end of the year, and then June 30th after the end of the year, with only 1.5 months to go before we reach 99% completeness on the vital records statistics. So then we'll go into, So basically, first and second quarter predictions are very different from the year-end infant mortality rate, but by the third quarter, the predictions tended to match pretty well. This next set of slides is in red, is that same year-end infant mortality rate. That's what I'm trying to predict. And then the blue and green lines are my confidence intervals around the prediction. So again, first quarter, my confidence intervals are like 7 or 8 units wide, which is completely useless. The second quarter, they're better, but still 4 units wide, which is not very useful. By the third quarter, I might have been able to tell you if we had a sudden, really dramatic increase or decrease in infant mortality rates, but still, they're about 2 units wide, which isn't terribly useful for our programs. But by the fourth quarter, this would be based on births and deaths that had occurred all the way through December 31st, and prediction would be made on January 30th or January 31st. This is actually pretty useful. I would have been able to predict quite a bit, and then March 31st and June 30th, I'm almost right on. And then I'm going to run really. Oh, so here's just in tabular form or numeric form some of the things I just showed you with the graphs. This table, I've got the date that I was making the prediction for. The date, that run date, is the date that I would have pulled the data. And then you can see the lower and the upper 2.5th and 97.5th percentile percent difference from the actual true year and infant mortality rate. So then I did the same thing for predicting infant mortality rate by race ethnicity. And I found pretty much similar results. The first and second quarter predictions are so wide that they're not terribly useful. And the third quarter predictions, they tighten up significantly for whites and blacks, but remain fairly wide for Hispanics. And I should just throw in a little bit of background. Marion County, Indianapolis, Indiana, we're about 70% white, 25-ish percent black, and maybe 5 or 6% Hispanic at this point. So there are really much fewer Hispanic births and deaths that these predictions are being made off of, which explains the difference. And then by the fourth quarter, my predictions tighten up around race ethnicity specific infant mortality rates. But the bounds on the Hispanic infant mortality rates are still fairly wide, which I'll show you in a second here. But our Hispanic infant mortality rate has varied so much in the past several years that the predictions are actually pretty useful. So real quickly, I'll just run through, and you can see these are the same sort of graphs with a red line indicating the year-end infant mortality rate for our white non-Hispanics, and then the green and the blue on the outside are the confidence intervals around the predictions that would have been made for the first quarter. The second quarter, they tighten up a little bit. Third quarter, and then fourth quarter, since it's based on a full year of data and we're just waiting on the births and deaths that haven't been reported, we can actually make pretty reasonable predictions with that year-end infant mortality rate will be once all the births and deaths are in. Here's for blacks in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then that dramatic tightening up by the fourth quarter. And then here's what I was talking about with Hispanics. Since there's so few Hispanic births and deaths, the first quarter is just completely useless like the other ones. And the second quarter, third quarter. And then here's the fourth quarter where the confidence interval is still about 2 units wide in general. Excuse me. But you can see that the infant mortality rate has bounced around so much that even that wide confidence interval might actually be pretty useful for us. And there's that would be March 31st after year end and April 30th. So after I did this, I validated it with some 2007 data results. And so you can see the actual 2007 infant mortality rate for Marion County was 10.2. And this graph shows you the predictions that I would have made. And throughout, that 10.2 was within the confidence limits. And actually was my prediction for the 3 months post and 6 months post end of the year. And then so far here's where I'm at for 2008. So my best guess would be that our 2008 infant mortality rate will be between 9 and 12.3, which is, like I said, not terribly useful, but at least we know, it's not gonna be 20, hopefully. So strengths and weaknesses, it's not a dramatic improvement since really you need to wait until December, the end of the year, until all the data, all the births and deaths have occurred to really get good predictions. But having that bound around the prediction is really useful and an improvement over previous policies. And that's sort of what I said. And the race ethnicity is similar results. And I just want to, before I close here, talk just a little bit about implementation specifically for Marion County. After this had occurred, we're sort of in the middle of in January 2007, Indiana entered a sort of a transition period in birth and death reporting. We implemented the new NCHS 2003 recommended birth certificate and made that an electronic web-based reporting system. January 1st, 2008, we implemented the new revision for the death certificate. And they're talking about trying to pilot an electronic-based, web-based system for death certificate reporting in the first quarter of next year. And so I think that it'll be interesting to see that what impact these changes have on the speed with which records are filed. I'm not sure that it'll be terribly a big change, just because a lot of the things that keep records from being filed in a timely fashion are not terribly dependent on the filing mechanism. But for example, like our fetal death certificate changed and dramatically, and our coroner doesn't like it, and so our fetal death reporting is completely different from last year because of that. So it'll be interesting to see this again. But in conclusion, I think that this method of providing the bounded predictions would be very useful for any other health department that has direct access to their vital records data and are responsible for providing those reports. Any questions?
Any questions? There's one in the back.
The question was whether the maternal and child health folks have been able to use this process, and I'm sort of embarrassed to say we haven't had that conversation yet. I completed this analysis, after it would have been useful for them for 2007, and so 2008 will be the first year that it was completed, and they'll get predictions. So, someone else has actually taken over the working with that department, so I'll probably pass it along.
But the bottom line is, ostensibly, they could have at least a reasonable estimate mm-hmm. 6 months earlier.
Yes, yeah. With confidence in that estimate as well.
Any other questions? We have time for one more. Thank you.